Hello and welcome to Comus the Sauce. This is the Cupsan, and we're back with a new episode. Today's March 31st, 2020. The world is in such dire straits that we couldn't really afford to wait the usual 8 months to do a podcast because we might not be able to do a podcast by then. So we're back early. With me, as always, is Rob. Say hi, Rob.
How's it going, everybody? I hope everyone's doing okay in this lovely quarantine we're all experiencing.
We've got a couple guests with us this time. We are joined today by Angel from Torreon. How are you doing, Angel?
Good, as far as somebody can do at this time, but good.
And we're also joined by our friend Alex, the Radafan from Switzerland, who's here to talk about his recent trip to Mexico.
Yeah, how's it going? Yeah, I'm also feeling good under the circumstances, of course.
Did I just say the right country, or did I screw that up?
No,
already?
You did not. I'm from Sweden, not Switzerland.
Yeah, we're off to a great start. We're not editing anything out, too, so we can.
Not enough.
I can be stupid in real time. You were heading to Mexico for like 2 or 3 weeks, and it didn't quite work out that way for you, did it?
No, like the initial plan was to, yeah, basically I'd be gone from home for 3 weeks, but I'd be in Mexico like 2 weeks and 5 days because like it takes 1 day to travel in and out. So yeah, I left March 7, I believe, and I was supposed to go back March 26. But yeah, due to the virus, when Trump put the travel ban in effect, my flight, original flight out of Mexico City to Dallas got canceled, so I had to start looking for other options. And fortunately, after going through hell and back, I found one, and I ended up going back March 25th. First or 22nd, I believe. I don't remember, actually. But
I'm sure all the days were blending together at that point, because you were spending a lot of time at airports trying to find a way home.
Yeah, I was, like, talking to everybody. Like, and I was, like, all the European airlines, they already shut down. Like, British Airways was the only one operating at the time.
Mm-hmm. So, let's start by, since you have, I think, the most to talk about anyone on the show. Let's start about talking about some of the shows you did get to see before things shut down. Which was the first show you got to see in Mexico?
The first show I got to see was the Lucha Memes show at the Arena Coliseo Coacalco. And it was actually the same day I arrived. I arrived early in the morning, and the show was later that day. So, I was invited and greeted by Daniel Ledesma, who also like got me a front row ticket in advance. And it was a great show. I really liked it. I've got highlights up on my channel, obviously, if you want to go watch that. And had a super fun experience. Black Terry Jr. was there. Noriko was there.
Was that your first time to go into Coaco?
Yeah, that was my first time in Coacalco. I met with Terry and Noriko last time I was in Mexico, but that was the first time in Coacalco, yeah.
What do you think of the arena, seeing it in person finally?
I mean, it's such a like a different experience from, you know, being in Arena Mexico and being around like all the, you know, how should I put it, like tourist-friendly, I guess, areas. You know, this is like the real underground, this is the real deal, you know, where people like Aramis came from, you know. So I don't know, it's just a very good atmosphere, you know. Everyone I talked to there was like super friendly, you know. A bunch of people, like Mexicans, came up to me, started chatting me up, because obviously they saw I was a foreigner, you know. So, you know, I had some great conversations with people, and yeah, it was just overall a fun time.
Did you have one of those matches on the show stick out to you at all? Was there a particular favorite you had?
Yeah, my favorite was definitely Virus versus Judas El Traidor. It was a very technical brawl match. I don't believe I filmed anything from it because I was just so like into it, into the match. I didn't bring out my camera, but like it wasn't anyway. It wasn't a match to like put up highlights from because it wasn't that kind of match. It was just like very like psychological, and like usually I'm into all like the high flying stuff, but like the psychology of this match was like really incredible, and I give it like 4 out of 5 stars easily. And then the main event. The main event got changed because Atlantis Junior and Titan, they couldn't work there for, I don't know, political reasons. So the main event got changed. It was instead Aramis versus Ares. And it was also very good. Obviously, Aramis and Ares are two incredible wrestlers. But what made it like not as good as you might think is like the confusion of how many falls they were doing, because no one really knew what was going on. And like at first everyone thought it was a one fall match, and like after the first fall people started like getting up, like being ready to, you know, get out of there. And then all of a sudden they were like, people started chanting that the ref did a fast count and all of that, and then it came a second fall and then third fall. In the end, Aris ended up winning. I mean, it was a great match. They did a lot of great moves and all that, but like, kind of just fell apart with the concepts. So, yeah.
I'm hoping some of that comes online later on. Masalucha put up some highlights too, especially of those matches. But that Virus match, with Virus, it's so rare that we get to see him in a big singles match, and usually. Sometimes in Lucha Memories, he hasn't been as good as he's been in CML, but it sounds like that was one of the matches where he put in more effort. So I hope we get to see that match too.
Yeah, there was some. This, for me, that was a really good match. I saw holds in that match that I've never seen before, at least. I'm sure some of you have because you've been fans for a long time. But like for me, it was definitely something very new and very exciting. So
I don't want to jump all over Cubs, but I got two questions for Alex.
Yeah.
The first question, have you seen Aramis versus Ares from Riot, the title match that they had?
Yeah, I did.
So was this better than that match?
No.
It was not better?
It wasn't. No, it wasn't. Because, like I said, the concept screwed it up because, like, it was almost so much confusion and, like, It's not the artists and Aramis are not to blame for this, because like just the idea of like doing just like another fall and another fall, like, you know, right on the spot, it just confused everyone. So like instead of people, you know, looking at the match, people was looking all around the crowd to see what the fuck was going on, you know. So yeah, that's just kind of what happened.
And then my other question would be, so I asked you this off the air, but we might as well, or you might as well explain it on the air for other people that are going to have the same question. Yeah. So when you say that the finishes were screwy, what exactly happened at the end of the first and second fall, and how long were the breaks between falls? Were they like messing around, or did they just like go from one fall and then like 10 seconds later they just kept wrestling into the second fall?
Okay, so like the first thing that happened was obviously Ledesma got on the mic to tell everyone Atlantis and Titan couldn't come. So then Ares and Aramis came out. They worked for about 10 minutes. And then, the pin happened. I think it was Ares pinned Aramis originally. The ref did kind of a fast count. It wasn't like an obvious fast count, but it was kind of fast. And like some fans started like, you know, booing the referee and whatever. And like this was the big confusion moment, because nothing happened in the ring for like at least 1 or 2 minutes. So like people started, you know, standing up, like getting ready to leave and whatnot. And then like, I don't know, I'm pretty sure Aramis got on the mic and, you know, the crowd got with him and they were all like, oh, okay, let's do another fall. And then they did a super quick second fall. Aramis pinned the Ares with the, you know, the spin out power bomb right away. It was like a 1 minute fall. And then, they got on the mic again and they was like, okay, Ares wasn't ready, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then they ended up doing a third fall, which lasted for maybe about 5 minutes until Aris pinned Aramis again, and that was the end of it.
That sounds really, really confusing.
Yeah, it was really confusing, especially after the first fall. Like, nobody knew what the hell was going on, and there was nobody to explain it either. And like I said, nothing happened in the ring for at least like 2 or 3 minutes. Like, everyone just thought Aris won, and that's it, you know? So, yeah.
I guess the extra was just to make up for the fact that the CML guys weren't there. But if you were going to do three falls anyways, why didn't they just announce it as a three fall?
I think they improvised it on the spot because the crowd wasn't pleased with the first finish. Probably the referee kind of botched it with a fast count. I think they pretty much improvised that, to be honest.
And this podcast, of course, wouldn't be the usual Como Estas podcast without us criticizing Lucha memes. The whole CMLL guys no-showing situation is just very strange to me personally, because like you knew this was going to be a problem. Right when we saw the poster announced, everybody pointed out that it was going to be an issue. How can the AAA guys work on the same show as the CMLL guys? And then the day comes, like nobody woke up that day and said, oh, by the way, Titan Atlantis, you guys can't go to the show. Like, one of those guys doesn't even live in Mexico City, so he wouldn't have been there unless he had a show to go to, and he wasn't there. So I'm pretty sure that he knew, Ledesma, that is, knew going into it, and I'm just curious why he didn't bring replacements or substitutions. It just, I don't know, Cubs, what do you think? The whole situation comes off as very strange to me. Like, there's a piece of the puzzle that we're missing.
Yeah, there's something not adding up. I mean, combine that with the show that's happening this weekend, and it feels like Ledesma has to run these shows for some reason, and it's not even, I don't know if it's financial or other reasons that he's going on with these shows just because he needs to go on with these shows, but he can't really afford to get replacements or make them work better. But something that didn't add up, and it kind of, because everything else happened right after, that kind of got lost in the weeds, and we're probably never really get a good answer on it.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, like, something doesn't add up, but at the same time, like, having met Ledesma in person, you know, I talked to him when I was there, he's definitely very passionate about what he's doing, like, that I can give him, you know, and he knows a lot about Lucha, so, you know, I don't think he's, like, you know, trying to, you know, fool people into coming and like booking names that he know isn't gonna come. I don't think that's what's happening. It's probably, you know, just like he's trying to get away with it, but in the end, you know, it doesn't work out. So yeah.
So the next day was supposed to be a big holiday in Mexico, but that's when stuff started to get canceled. And I believe you ended up at the Central Alto Rendimiento, the crash show. Is that right?
Yeah, that was the next day. That was actually like a week after.
Oh, I'm going to get my days confused. So then was the next show the Cetro show, or was the show in between?
Yeah, the next show that I went to was in Querétaro. I was supposed to go to the IWRG show as well in Naucalpan on Thursday. But I actually was really ill that day. I had like a 24-hour bug, and like I was like feeling really shitty. So I ended up not going because, basically just couldn't get out of bed. It was like that bad. But then when I woke up the next morning, everything was fine. So, yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure I ate a moldy croissant the same morning, and that's the reason why.
That's at least if you're going to get an illness around that time, that's kind of the right illness to get, the one that only lasts a day, and then you're fine. But
Yeah, exactly.
So, but you did make it to Querétaro, which is, I believe, one of your favorite places to go to, right?
Yeah, I love Querétaro. It's such a beautiful city. And it's kind of small-ish, you know, at least compared to, like, other big Mexican cities. So, like, I've been through for 3 days that I've spent there now combined, I've been through pretty much the whole city. Like, I know, like, every part of it pretty much. And I just love it. It's such a beautiful city. It reminds me very much of, like, Italy, you know, with the architecture and, you know, just, like, how it looks and, like, the aura of the place. I love it.
Yeah, it's been, we've gone there a couple times, myself and Rob, and I don't know if you agree, Rob, but it's really, from what we've seen, it's a really nice city.
I loved it. The first time we went, yeah, we went on the bus with the guys to Chilangabasque. We didn't get to explore the city that much. I actually remember walking around Arita Querétaro, but the second time when we were there with the crash guys, we got a nice little place like 10, 15 minutes away. It was actually an awesome little inn, a place to stay overnight. And the city looked really nice when we were going through it the next day on our way back out. Have you ever been to Querétaro?
Angel is muted.
Yes. Yes. Sorry, I was taking a sip of water.
That's
right. I have family there, so I have been there. It's really nice.
Have you ever been to wrestling there?
No, just family. Just seeing family traveling from somewhere. We stopped there, but it's really nice, good food. The tortas abuelas are really good.
Yeah, I agree. I've been there now 3 times in 3 days. Like, there's a torta place in Querétaro. I absolutely love it. They have, they call it the torta Querétano. It's like, you know, like 2 different kinds of sausages, and it's like three different kinds of cheese, and like all kinds of, you know, greens and stuff. I love it. It's such a good torta. It's my favorite.
And the best part, it's probably only like $2 or even less.
Yeah, I think it's like 35 pesos or so. So yeah,
it's gonna be even less at the moment we're going.
Oh yeah, I did. I had to.
Did we mention that Angel is from Torreon?
Yeah, we did at the beginning, but I had to do some conversion between U.S. dollars and Mexican pesos today, and it's not going well for the Mexican pesos.
For where I work, I said we work with everything is in dollars, so technically it's good. The peso is going really down because we're gonna hit our goals really fast as soon as this stops, but. Other things are gonna skyrocket than that. I was planning to do a trip next year, but probably we'll have to wait to get some more dollar.
Yeah, hopefully things will, a lot of things will go back towards what they were before soon enough. But so
yeah, definitely.
Which matches did you see in Querétaro that stuck out?
Definitely the Flyer match. With Murcielago Plateado, it was Gremlin, Maremoto Jr. Versus Aramis and Mexicali guys. And yeah, that one really stuck out. It was just like all out, everyone go crazy, high flying match. I have a really cool dive sequence that I caught from it. That's on my YouTube channel as well, if you go to the Arena Querétaro highlights. So that match definitely stuck out.
How were Castigar and Vengador? Was tag match.
Yeah, they were in a tag match. That match wasn't much, to be honest, because it was kind of more like a storyline thing. Where I believe Alex Guajardo and who was he tagging with? Homicida, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got a pretty fast pin on the other team, whoever they were. I don't remember. And then they like cut a bunch of promos afterwards. Castigador and Vengador themselves, they didn't really do much. So, but. I actually talked to both Castigador and Vengador a lot after the show and after their match. So I just, you know, they recognized me, but both of them recognized me from 2 years ago. What the hell is that noise?
That's mine. I'm getting an emergency warning on my phone.
That's the emergency alert that they send out when there's, so probably in Chicago, they need more medical personnel or something.
Yes, that's what it is again. Sorry about that. Right.
Oh yeah. Also, yeah. But whatever. I talked to Castigador and Vengador. You know, they remembered me from 2 years ago. You know, that match when I really hyped up 2 years ago. I still love it to this day. I think it's one of the best lucha matches that I've ever seen. Probably overrating it a bit because I was there live and all that, but still it was a very great match. I talked a lot to Vengador. It turns out Vengador is actually, he speaks really good English. And we were kind of messing around with like some of the trainees outside the building. This is a really fun story. So there's like Vengador, a couple of trainees. One of them is named the Mascarita Montoya. And like we were all like standing outside. Some of us were smoking cigarettes, you know, whatever. It was during intermission. And we were just like sort of fucking around, like giving each other shots and stuff. Like everyone was starting to get a bit drunk. So eventually, like, I don't know, Vengador and, you know, some other fans were like, okay, so, well, because we were talking and I said I had trained wrestling in Sweden for a couple years back. And Mascarita Montoya, he's been training for a couple months in Mexico. So, like, everyone was like, okay, so let's go at it, you two, you know? So... Me and Mascarita Montoya ended up having a little match, I guess, outside, you know, on the pavement. We were just messing around, but it was super fun night. I met tons of really nice people, you know, really nice fans. And also Murcilago Plateado, who also remembered me because, like, when I was there last time, he was in the opener, and like pretty much everyone in that opener was so green, but he really stood out. He was so good. So I actually went up to him after the match and I told him, you know, in Spanish, I told him, you know, you're a great talent, you know, whatever. And actually, as soon as he, you know, made his entrance this time, he just saw me, pointed me out right away. And he was like, it's you, you know. So, yeah.
It's too bad that you couldn't get a chance to go bump in the ring, because I'm kind of curious. You know, Angel always sends me videos of people bumping in those Torreon rings, and it mm-hmm. sounds like they're falling on steel. So yeah. I'd love to know the difference between bumping in the Querétaro ring and bumping on the pavement outside the building.
Yeah, I don't know. The Querétaro ring is not that stiff, I can tell you that, because I've been on the apron, and it's not that stiff. Yeah, bumping on the pavement. I mean, we obviously did it kind of soft. Like, we were just, you know, tumbling over, like, very slowly. We tried to do, like, some springboard arm drags off, like, the street rail. But, I don't know, it probably looked like, you know, just some drunk tards. I don't know. But, I mean, we did, the leg sweep kip-up arm drag sequence thingy. We both learned that, so... Yeah, we did that, did a couple of shops, and then the rest was just a mess.
So, I'm trying to think of what else was on that show that might have been interesting. I think your match on the outside might have been more interesting than Angel Demonio in the main event, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, the main event was just like... I mean, it was okay. I don't know. Me personally, I'm not really into like the Extrema stuff, you know. But I mean, it was fine for what it was. They didn't do anything like that extreme, and you know, it was an okay match. It was just, yeah, it was fine, I guess.
How was the women's match?
I didn't see it. I was out wrestling.
Oh, come on, kick him off the podcast.
No, see, I'm sure that met your approval that he did not see that match.
Rob, you actually can't say that because he actually texted me when I already told him that, and he was like, oh, you're not going to lose sleep over that one or something like
no,
that.
No, no, no. That does not sound
No, but no,
I want you to tell the story about why, like, so... The first show you were at was Sunday or Monday, right?
Yeah, it was Sunday in the Memphis, yeah.
And this show was Friday, right?
Yeah.
So you had the chance to go to another show on Tuesday, but why didn't you go to Arena Mexico?
Because the card was so bad.
This was the one, think about it. This might be the last Tuesday show that CMLL has for how many months? and it was with Dark Magic versus Blue Panther Jr., and just the rest was even worse.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's also, if you know, if you could, like, put, you know, like, pick, you know, the absolutely worst wrestlers there is in CMLL and put them all on one card, and pretty much that card was, like, you know, 95% right. You know, it was just horrible, you know. And I think, yeah, that was the same night I was out with Edna and Naomi, my lovely Airbnb host. We were out, you know, eating dinner. I'm sure I had a much better time doing that than seeing that garbage, honestly. So
that's the interesting part about your whole experience on this trip is, like, you were one of the rare people who went to Mexico from another country who never ended up at Arena Mexico.
Yeah, I was there like 3 or 4 times the last time, but not this time.
So what was after Querétaro? The next day was back for San Juan, right?
Yeah, straight back to San Juan. I had like 4 hours or something from when I came back with the bus from Querétaro to make it to San Juan. And this is when I got pulled up on by the cops. If y'all saw me tweet that out on Twitter.
Well, they probably got reports of some crazy Swedish guy bumping on the streets in Canada.
Yeah, like, nah, man, this is like, you know, this guy is crazy, you know, he's gonna, you know, arm drag everyone in the city, you know, can't have this guy running around. Nah, but they just pulled up on me, like, out of nowhere. I was standing outside the La Raza metro station. It's, like, in the north of Mexico City. I was just standing outside finishing a cigarette, whatever, and they just pulled up on me. You know, tried to pull all kind of bullshit, you know, what are you doing here? They tried to tell me I was there illegally, blah, 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 you know, but, like, you know, I've seen so many, I've heard so much, and I've seen, for example, Sammy Guevara's vlog about, like, the same thing happened to him, and I've heard so many stories, like, I knew exactly what was going on, so, I don't know, I just acted calm, because I knew I had my papers, I had everything, so what the hell are they gonna do, you know? So I just acted calm, and, you know, like, they ended up just wasting 10 minutes of their time and my time, and, you know, no pasa nada, nothing happened. Yeah.
So, for one time, Sammy Guevara was a positive influence.
Yeah, the one time. I actually told them that. They were like, where are you going? I'm like, I'm going to Arena San Juan Pantitlan. And they were like, why? And then I remembered the Sammy vlog, and I was like, yeah, I'm a luchador. I'm training to be a luchador. And then they were like, oh, okay. Well then, have a good one. You know, like, I don't know. You know, there's something about, obviously, like, those cops, you know, they're, like, corrupt and, you know, they're bad guys, but at the same time, you know, like, there's something about, you know, when you're a tourist in Mexico, and, you know, for example, with Lucha, you can prove to, like, the Mexican people, whether they're a corrupt cop or, like, a really, you know, genuine nice guy, that you can prove to them that you know and respect the culture or whatever, and you speak Spanish and you're trying to do your best, you know, like, they'll respect you for that. So, yeah, that's pretty much what happened.
Now, that show had trios with Dragon Bane, Hijo de Canis Lupus, Timo Dragon versus the Lucha Solos guys and Baby Extreme. It had Centurion Metalon versus the Traumas.
Awesome matches.
So were those the two best matches, you thought?
Yeah, those were the two best matches of the entire trip, for sure.
We haven't seen Centurion and Metalon have, like, the other guys, you can kind of imagine what kind of matches they have, because they do a lot of flying stuff all the time. But Centurion and Metalon versus Traumas is a match that we have not seen, at least from them, that much. How was that match like?
It was surprising, because, like, I've never been a big fan of the Traumas, to be honest. I don't know. I just find their style kind of generic, you know. But the one who really stood out and carried the match was Centurion. Centurion did so much of the work during the match. And like with Judas versus Virus, it was like a really psychological match. The crowd was super hot for it, you know. There was like tons of chants. Metalion ended up diving onto me one time. And yeah, it just got super, super intense. So many near falls. Yeah, but just very, very, very intense. Hot emotional match, and yeah, I love it. I give that one 4 out of 5 stars as well.
That's pretty good. Did any of the other matches stick out for you on the show?
Yeah, the opener for sure with the Mexa boys. They're awesome kids, you know. I don't know how old they are, they're probably all underage, but I mean,
my it's children. Just crazy.
Yeah, it's your children and my little brothers. No, but like they do so many crazy things. Like you know, every time you see a new match of them, they have something new, and it's just so exciting and to watch live. And I mean, some of the stuff in the match didn't work out, but I mean, they're not there to work a classic. You know, they're there to learn. They're there to get experience. They're there to give the crowd a fun time, and that's exactly what he did. So, and yeah, I met with all of them after the match. I talked to Spiderfly, I talked to Noisy Boy. Actually, I talked quite a bit to Noisy Boy, he's a really nice kid. And yeah, man, the women's match was actually good too, because it was good up until the finish. The finish was kind of like abrupt and seemed like weird, like they cut it short. But up until that, it was really good. I don't know why what happened in the finish. It looked super awkward and like it wasn't planned. But yeah,
I haven't seen the highlights from that yet. But going back to the opener, it's crazy for me because, like, I grew up on wrestling. Well, I didn't grow up on wrestling, but like what got me really into Lucha was watching, like, besides Rey Mysterio Jr., I was watching Space Cadets versus Vipers matches or highlights of all the crazy stuff. Yeah. And it's like, for me, you have the Mexa boys and you have their best opponents who were the mini Strials, the one that were in their debut match and then the second match. Yeah. And you have those guys available, but for some reason, Mexa Wrestling doesn't want to put them against each other on every show. And I always write to Mexa, and I'm like, you have such a great opportunity. These guys are going to go crazy. They work amazing together. And, like, if they have good matches and do cool shit, those spots are going to go all over the internet, and it's going to make your company known. So why would you book them against other guys? And it's just other guys who are also just as green as the Mexa boys. Yeah. I would rather put the match that's for sure going to be better than – just try to put them against different guys. You can do that at other events, smaller events.
Yeah, I mean, they should do both, obviously, because it should obviously be like a learning experience as well. They shouldn't be like working the same guys all the time, because then they'll just be like Arcángel Divino and Maldito, you know.
Well, you said it, not me.
Yeah, but like obviously they should do both, and like for a big event like that, yeah, they should probably have them work, you know, their best opponents. So I don't know why they didn't do that, but possibly just to get the other guys on the show as well. So
yeah, that's one of the things I'm hoping from the new IWRG Thursday shows, whenever wrestling starts again. I was kind of hoping that those are going to be the new, like, first and second match. We're just going to be these guys again trying to get experience.
Yeah, and it probably will, hopefully.
I think you see a lot of that, where just people are matched up with other people just to give them the face other people, just to do different matches. But it would be nice if they just let the young guys work with each other for a while, maybe not forever. I mean, the Archangel and Maldito are like the bad way that can go, but like Phoenix and Penta, when they first were starting out, they worked a lot against each other. So
yeah, definitely. But like, as you say that, Arcángel and Maldito, I saw several times during this trip, and that match in San Juan, they actually impressed the hell out of me. I have never seen them work like that ever, because they didn't work each other pretty much at all during that match. They didn't do like the spots they always do. They didn't do any of that. They just worked together with the other guys, and they still turned it into a 4-star plus match, and it was a super great match. They both worked so good together with the other guys, and yeah, they didn't square up really at all. I was amazed by that fact. So, yeah.
Well, that's good. I think they're helped out because they're doing that team now instead of facing each other. So that forces them to do different stuff now. And I think that's probably benefits them at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, they were a good highlight reel, you know, like working against each other. But that's only going to get them, you know, that far. It's not going to get them anywhere. Just doing the same thing over and over again. Like, it's cool seeing it once, you know. You could probably watch it twice, but you know, you're not gonna be as, you know, hyped up about them doing the same high speed Mystica, you know, the 50th time you see it. So, yeah.
Now, if I have the dates right now, the next show you went to was at the Crash Training Arena, because you had that or the IWRG show, and I think you made the correct pick between those two shows.
Yeah, well, I didn't have a pick. The IWG or...
Oh, yeah, because it was at the arena. You couldn't go if you wanted to.
Nah, exactly. They closed it up. So I just hopped into an Uber and went straight to the Catepec. And even then, I mean, I probably should have made that decision anyways. Like, so actually that didn't bother me at all. I've already been to Naucalpan 2 years ago, so, and I've never been to Satlan Sitlali before, and it was certainly a very exciting experience over there as well, so no, I wouldn't have it any other way.
And you got the true lucha experience where you left late, you thought you were going to get there late, and when you got there, you were still in line waiting to get in.
Yeah, definitely. And then when I finally got in, we still waited another like half an hour, 45 minutes until the show actually started. So,
hey, Ankel, are you there?
Yes.
So explain to people who don't understand, like, why does every show in Mexico start late?
Most of the time so that the guys can get there. The time is mostly just so that when they're going to open the arena. So most of the time, normally used to be that time you need to be an hour before if you're a wrestler, but now most people come half an hour, even if that before their match.
And where you come from in Torreón, on the general area, is it like always late? Like, no, it's not like there's no one place. Like, you know, Reina Mexico starts on time, but there's nothing like that in Torreón, right?
No, I think on the Arena Mexico, and if they're going to live stream it, they're probably going to start on time. But if not, most of the shows are an hour or 45 minutes late at best, you know, an hour and a half or 2 hours.
That's crazy.
You know, getting back to something we were talking about before, in Torreón, you see a lot of, at least from what the results I see in the lineups I see, there's a lot of people who face about the same group of people all the time. Like, so the arenas don't always mix with each other. Do you think it would be better if there was more? Do you think that helps having the same people face each other so often, or is that would be better if they do mix it up a little bit more?
Oh, that's a topic we can have for hours if we're gonna talk about Laguna wrestling. It does help. For example, just for clarity, I work with Alianza Metropolitana Lucha Libre. I tape shows and I do a show and I'm a referee there. They started, just to give a little background, four or five years ago, and I started with them 2 years ago. They had most of the guys that you see now in Plaza de Toros, Arena Coliseo Laguna, Arena Tony Arellano. Those guys left on 2018. On March, if I remember right. So a lot of the young guys got the opportunity to work with more experienced guys. And what is happening is similar to the Arcángel Divino Ultimo Maldito. Those guys, normally the guys that are independent, we can call it like that, here in La Laguna, work mostly with the same guys unless their promoter gives them an order or money to work with certain guys. So that's why you see probably the Gran Jefes and the Wagners is a feud here in La Laguna. But that's because the Gran Jefes are their promoters as well. So they're paying Wagner so they can wrestle them for free.
They pay Wagner to bring them in, but they're not paying them themselves. Because they just want
No, they're not paying. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're not paying themselves. There's a lot of young kids in the independence, as we call them here. They're really good, but they end up wrestling with all guys that are not gonna give them anything, like Nitro example, if you want to put it in an NMX or CML, that you're not gonna do anything or anything fun. You're just gonna do a brawl match, maybe a comedy match if the guy feels like doing that. So most of these guys end up working the barrio shows to get better.
Okay, so Angel, here's a question for you about. I heard you mentioned Nitro and those guys. Let's say the lesser good Laguna CMLL guys. Do they not put effort in Laguna as well? Like Nitro, is he as bad when he works in Laguna as when in CMLL, or
depends?
Does he put more effort in?
Depends if how much you're paying them. It is how much do you pay them, or do you give them beer most of the time, or however the promoter ends up working with the guy if he has a good track record with the guy. For example, now Misterioso has been living here, so he has two kids that are wrestling, Misterioso Negro and Misterioso Blanco. So now mm-hmm. he mostly works where he can put his kids in the show in the first or second match. But those guys only wrestle themselves. If you see any match that they're part of, they only wrestle themselves. And so sometimes he is on, sometimes he is just more of he does more comedy. I think he debuted talking about Misterioso, that's the best example I can give at the moment. The cool submission that he debuted on CML. Mm-hmm. I saw it like 2 weeks here because he was trying it with different guys. So he was trying it with smaller guys, larger guys, so that he could do it here. So he could do it in the main stage. And depending on the arena, for example, you can see a Bandido working, giving it all in Arena Azteca or in Arena Tony Arellano, since he has ties with those arenas. The trainer or their with Tony Arellano, I think his family, somebody in his family owns the arena, so he actually puts an effort into it. But there's other arenas that are just a payday and they don't do anything.
Yeah, but Tony Arellano is the new arena, right?
Yeah, Tony Arellano is there is the new no, but there's always new arenas here in Torreon, but it's the new big arena.
Yeah,
I like that arena. That's the one that's outdoors. It's like I saw the last show that they actually did before everything shut down. I think Ultimo Guerrero was on it, yes. And just like you're saying, he was working, I thought, harder than he does in a lot of shows in Mexico City. He was, like, trying to help out the kid he was working with.
Yeah, so I think it was Diabolico Jr.
I think so, right? Yeah.
Yeah, for example, he has a good relationship with Bandido's family, also with the Diabolicos, because when he was a rookie, I think they're the same generation, the Diabolico, if a little or one or two generations above Ultimo. So he actually works well, and he normally does give more when he's here than when you see him in CML aside from a big event. You can call his pots, but at least he tries to mix them up a little bit more.
Or for example, like, sorry, go ahead.
No, go.
No, I was just going to say that, like, because those shows are the ones that I mostly am interested in now, just because they bring in the big names. Like, you know, they did Bandito versus Flamita. Every time Bandito seems to come home, they do something. They were going to do Bandito and Magia Blanca together against, like, Halcón Soriano Jr., but the show got canceled, obviously, as we'll talk about. That building is a really interesting, like, I like the idea. It could really help develop talent for CMLL coming through there.
Yes, there's great talent, but there's so much politics behind that sometimes you don't get where it should be a big show, you don't get it. So I was telling Rob, the show that Wagner was putting on that was gonna have was gonna be very heavy on starts is most of the guys that I'm from Laguna that are in Mexico City came back because they prefer to do the quarantine here in Torreon since there's less people. So you had I think Bandido, you're gonna have Magia Blanca, you were gonna have Alcon Soriano, you're gonna have a lot of guys that are here but not that stay here. So the shows that are gonna start after this are gonna be pretty stacked.
When do you think it's gonna start up again?
Sorry, I needed to cough. There's already a show that put their that they're gonna start on the 28th. It's a barrio show here in Gomez Palacio.
And which
and it has
Gomez Palacio gallery. Is like stacked right together next. With Torreon, like
yes. And he has on the main event Black Warrior Jr. and Príncipe Rebelde, so probably Black Warrior will make a cameo.
How come I see Black Warrior Jr. listed in so many of the shows up there now? Does he live there now?
I think most of the guys, they're sending their kids here so they can get more seasoning and be, have more start presence when they get back.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Black Warrior Jr. is probably going to be a main eventer for Welcome to Mi Barrio. So that's probably why he got sent here along with his brother, just so that he can help his brother and get more shine on him. So this show probably will not get taped or photographed, so they can mess up and work how they can.
Yeah,
I
believe like Laguna has been like a center of talent for so many years because like so many of the CMLL guys and AAA guys as well, you know, have roots from the Laguna area, and it's just been like a place for Mexican promoters all over the country to look for talent, you know, for such a long time that it's like I totally understand why people will go there to get shine, you know.
Even, like, I remember a year and a half before he even showed up in Mexico City, when Angel was uploading videos of Dulce Gardenia, and I would be like, how come CMLL hasn't brought this guy in? He would be perfect to replace Maximo. And as usual, CMLL was way behind the time, but eventually they figured it out and they brought him in, and he's actually been one of the bigger success stories of CMLL. And if you go back on Angel's channel, you can see Dulce having great matches and doing awesome stuff way before he was in CMLL.
Yeah.
It was more because, and that's the thing, there's a lot of guys here that are good, but are scared to leave to go to Mexico City too, because as it happened, a lot of them do have a lot of jealousy. And I think he was, like 6 months before he was supposed to go, he started to leave to do little shows that weren't arbitrized, but he had a good and decent paying job here in Torreon with Coca-Cola. So since he has 3 kids, he didn't want to leave his kids without knowing if he was going to be able to make it into CMLL. And it wasn't until Ultimo gave him that he was going to go straight into the top class in the CMLL school. that he was okay. I'll go.
Yeah,
there's a lot of stories like that. That Ultimo Guerrero is the guy who, you know, when he comes and he tells you, "Hey, you've got a job. You should come to Mexico City." Like Stuka's told that story, Bandido's told that story, Magia Blanca. Like Ultimo Guerrero seems to be like, once he approves you, then you're good to go.
I want to know whatever happened to Tarantula. Because Tarantula, he was the guy that really put Bandido on, first of all. Like, he was the first, like, big opponent for Bandido, you know, like, the first... back when Bandido was still Magnifico Segundo.
Tarantula is Gran Jefe Sexto now.
Yeah.
So, he and his brother used to wrestle, then he lost his mask to his brother, that his brother became a clown. One of the clowns that are here in Mexico.
That's a very normal Lucha Libre story. You lose your mask and your brother becomes a clown.
Yeah.
And then when his brother lost his mask, now he wrestles more like a Elvis impersonator. So Tarantula, he started working in Gran Jefe Cuarto, got injured about the same week that Scotty broke her leg doing the same movement of putting a guy on the apron but hanging him so that you double foot stomp him and then he falls on the floor. He did that, but his tibia broke. I think the exact same injury as Scotty. So they need a new guy because Gran Jefe Tercero is older. I think in his 50s so they need a new guy so that when they came back, Gran Jefe Tercero could retire. So he started wrestling with them, and then they gave him the gear, and now he wrestles. He used to wrestle unmasked, but now he wrestles masked as Gran Jefe Sexto. He's a really good base. A lot of guys have that he is the guy that they can try stuff with him. Because he's a really good base. He catches guys and he has.
That's what I was saying. You know, he was the guy who when I first started getting like really impressed with Magnifico Segundo. He was like, he was always wrestling the Tarantulas. I remember that. So, and I think they were also like way back when Bandido first got the Bandido gimmick, they were both invited to Lucha Memes, I believe. They had a match in Lucha Memes, Tarantula versus Bandido.
Yeah, that's the same thing. They have family, and sometimes that is the thing. Most of the guys that end up either have kids really early in their life, so they have that fear of trying, or it seems that it's a coincidence that they have a little kid when they get the big opportunity. So they had to, most of the cases, decide, do I stay here and with my family and try it, go once in a while, or should I give it and stay here? Because probably since they're probably going to do the mass match when they come back, the Gran Jefe Cuarto versus Wagner, he's probably gonna be on the undercard wrestling the Wagner kids.
Yeah, I really enjoy him as a brutal. He's a really good base, and from what I've seen, he's got some like impressive and like innovative brutal offense as well. So like, I'm surprised he never got more exposure than he did.
You become from being one to being the fourth or fifth in a group. It's probably, but having that, knowing that you're gonna get booked at least once a week.
Yeah.
So probably, since we can take that in another, but in another time, talk about the whole independent IMLA stuff. But there was a time where he wasn't getting booked, so he, from becoming an up and coming star and having those dreams to not even getting booked anymore.
Yeah, that seems to happen to a lot of guys. It's a shame.
So back to, you got off track.
Yeah, I guess.
We talk about Tarantula.
The Central, yeah. So how was that show, the one you went to? The one with Wagner on top?
Yeah, it was a fun show. Like, I mean, none of the matches really stood out as, like, you know, like a match of the year material or anything. But it was a fun show with a great environment. And I'm sure you already heard my story and probably also seen when they all dived on me, or like a couple guys dived on me. And then, like, the crowd started to chant for me, and like some kids and some fans that came up wanted to take pictures with me and stuff like that. It was crazy. But yeah, it was like a really, how do you say it, like familiar environment, or not familiar, that's the wrong word, but like, I don't know. You get my point. You know, like I got the feeling that, you know, everyone in the crowd that was there, they go to every show. You know, everyone knew exactly what was going on. Everyone knew everybody, so it was like a really, you know,
welcoming, yeah,
family feeling. You know, yeah.
That seems to be the general idea of all the stories that I'm hearing, because a lot of people, me and Cubs, explained this when we started doing this podcast, actually, because we were doing the Mexico trips. That, like, everybody has this impression about how Mexico's dangerous and people hate foreigners and you always got to be guarding yourself and don't talk to anybody. It's like, not at all. I mean, everybody's so welcoming wherever we go. It's the total opposite.
Yeah, it's the total opposite. And I can say this, like, after having been to Mexico now, like, yeah, pretty much a month in total, I never ever felt like threatened or in danger, like at any time, at any moment. I just felt, you know, grateful. I talked to a lot of, you know, very, very kind-hearted people, very, you know, helpful. Yeah, very kind people. Everyone's been nice to me. Like, I have only good things to say. So, I mean, I hope, you know, it's not going to happen overnight, but, like, maybe someone will listen to this podcast and decide, you know, fuck it, screw it, let's go to Mexico. And let's screw all these, you know, wrong assumptions that people have about it being so dangerous, because it's really not, and especially not if you give it your best to, you know, try to respect the culture, try to, you know, at least try to speak Spanish, you know, because, like, I can understand that from, like, a Mexican's point of view, or, like, even from a Swedish point of view. Like, we have tourists in Sweden too, believe it or not, and, like, if someone, you know, comes up to you and, like, speaks a foreign language right away, like, obviously, you know, you're gonna, like, be like, what the hell, dude, you know? So at least try to speak some Spanish. You don't have to be good at it. You don't have to, you know, as long as you know, you know, a couple of words, you know, you'll be fine, because people respect you for trying, you know, and that's the important thing. So, yeah.
I think that's good advice. And unfortunately, that was the last show you saw, right?
Yeah, that was the last show I saw, unfortunately. After that, everything started getting canceled.
There were two you were going to go to on Tuesday. Where was the Tuesday show?
It was on Wednesday in Zacatecas, but it got canceled.
On Tuesday, weren't you going to, like, Tlahuac or something?
Oh, yeah. There was a Tlahuac show Tuesday night, and then there was a Zacatecas show on Wednesday. But the thing is, since the Tlahuac show was, like, late night, and the only flight to Zacatecas the day after was, like, 6 in the morning, I decided not to go to Tlahuac because, well, I wouldn't sleep if I did that, so...
Did that show even happen, Cubs? Do we know?
I think that show got canceled, but I'm not sure.
No, it happened, I'm pretty sure. The Tlahuac show happened.
Because that was the one where Frizzero told me it was going to happen, but I never found out if it actually happened, I think.
No, I'm pretty sure it happened. I think I saw some Facebook posts, like, from some people who were there. I don't know, but I believe so. I'm not gonna say for certain, but I'm pretty sure I remember seeing some Facebook posts from the event.
Honestly, I didn't even know the show existed until you showed me. So I'm guessing that they're so under the radar, there's no commission there to shut them down. It probably did happen.
Yeah, exactly. And from what, like, I did some research, like, because I was deciding, you know, whether I should go there or not. So I did some research, and, like, the arena wasn't even an arena. It was more like an outdoor area with like a stage, you know, for like I don't know, like they have, I saw on YouTube there's been like some small, you know, like underground rock bands or whatever, like playing there and stuff, you know. So I mean, yeah, it was nothing like, you know, a big show. So yeah, probably commission didn't even know about it.
That reminds me of one time Lucha Memes was supposed to run a show, I think in Coacalco or something, and then they couldn't do it for whatever reason, so they moved it to a place nearby. And I remember when we were looking at the video, it looked so strange. So we looked up where the place was, and it was just like the patio of a restaurant. They just took away the chairs, and they just had it. Like, they just set up a ring, and they did a show. So you never know what you're going to show up to when there's a show in Mexico.
That sounds like Lucha Capital.
Well, I'm guessing. And then the Zacatecas show, that was the one with like Bandido, Puma, Sangre Azteca, Daga. Those guys were just telling me that they were hoping it was going to get canceled, and then it actually did get canceled. So,
yeah, it did end up getting canceled, but like only just the night before. And I believe you said the promoter had already sent out flights, you know, so that promoter probably lost a hell of a lot of money.
I know, poor promoter, because even until a couple of wrestlers were telling me on Sunday when I kept asking them, are you sure? Are you sure? Because I didn't want you to go to Zacatecas for no reason. Yeah. So I wanted them to be sure, like, are you going? And then the wrestlers were actually angry when they got their tickets on Sunday because they were afraid to travel. They didn't want to get sick or anything. And they're like, oh, I guess I have to go because the promoter bought my flight today. And then, of course, 2 days later, the promoter had to cancel everything. So I hope he got his money back, but I doubt it.
No, I probably didn't. Like, at least not. I mean, he might eventually, but not during the current chaos. I doubt it.
So after Zacatecas, you were going to go up north and meet up with Angel. Well, what kind of shows were scheduled that weekend?
I mean, let's have Angel talk about that.
So we had 4 shows: one on Friday, one on Saturday, and 2 on Sunday. The one on Friday had Misterioso Junior, Clasica Junior, and a guy named Baby Almost. That is, I remember Cobb saying, guys should take the baby when they end up becoming older. he's old, like 40, but he still has Baby Almost on his name. And he was facing René Guajardo III, the one that used to be in CML, that had a horrible match with Bandido.
Wait, I remember him, yeah.
Yeah, that's so he is mostly René Guajardo III.
He has
him and 2 guys, Angel Negro and Ministro Segundo Jr. Those were the main eventers with a single match. The guy that used to be Core Oriental and Lobo Oriental now wrestles as Torre Laguna, and he was facing Radamantis, and we had some other matches. Benit won, one being Baby Fantasy on the first match.
Baby Fantasy is like a really, like, he's really young. I think he's like 14 or 15, but he's like doing some crazy high-flying shit over in Torreon, so he's definitely one to look out for in the future.
Then on Saturday we had the Terrores Negros, the ones that wrestled in the CMML, the AAA Dark Match last year, facing René Guajardo and Boru. Boru is one of the guys that wrestles as a wolfman, the one that has the big pronounced mask as a wolf. Ministro Segundo Jr. and Mr. Guerrero, the guy, he's also a consagrado, he's compadres with Ultimo Guerrero, so that he has probably the hardest job in Mexico. I have taken one of those and they leave bruises.
Did you wish you did not take the chop afterwards?
No, they didn't tell me the spot. I was refereeing and the guy told me, hold me, and I heard I'm gonna move, and if I'm not going to take it, they're going to get mad and probably get another one. So I just closed my eyes and waited for it.
Yeah, I got chopped by both Mascarita Montoya and Vengador in Querétaro. I felt it.
Yeah, and then we had Odin and Baby Fantasy. That was going to be a good match since they were young guys that work with each other. And the other one being Sparko Jr. and Hijo del Imperio Negro, also a good match. I don't know if I have uploaded. I know, I think I did. These guys did a... Where was it? Top Rope Frankensteiner on the Arena Coliseo Corona Ring this on Saturday. The one that is hard, that Cassius, that Chris Hero even put it on a tweet. These guys were doing all of the big spots in a really hard ring. And on Sunday, we had the Black Terry versus Virus mano a mano.
Yeah, I was that one I was really excited for.
Yeah, that could have been amazing.
Yeah. Hopefully they can reschedule it and put it later on the year. But the most of the matches were going to be good since they were going to try to impress Virus and Black Terry to either get the bookings in Mexico City to CMML or to IWRG. And the other ones were guys from Monterrey, Kai and Tai, Prometeo. And King Rex, also in Arena Azteca.
Oh, I love those guys.
So those guys were gonna come on Sundays, and the Arena Azteca show starts a little bit before.
Those are the old Fantasticos, right?
No.
Awkward silence. Guerrero Azteca isn't the Fantasticos?
Oh, yeah, Guerrero Azteca Jr., yes.
Yeah.
Guerrero Azteca Jr. Fantástico used to be, if I remember right, Angel Azteca Jr. The original Angel Azteca Jr. used to be the first Fantástico with the before he changed his name and then retired. The guy that now wrestles as Emperador Azteca used to be Fantástico Segundo.
Yeah.
And is the guy that is. He has the school, and a lot of the guys that have Azteca in their name, they are his students. And most the Fantástico Guerrero Azteca Jr., there used to be also Gato Volador Jr., started before as Fantástico, and the guy that used to be Blue Fox Jr. now is Fantástico. He's the one that has the open mask.
Yeah, because I noticed in the new Fantástico isn't the old one. So, I remember from seeing I don't know, maybe like 6-7 years ago, the Fantásticos used to have like great matches in Plaza del Toro. So I used to see like highlights from Facebook clips from those shows. I'm pretty sure I have some GIFs on my Twitter from that.
No, keeping all those names and switch identities, especially when we have Fantástico 1, Fantástico 2, and then we have just a Fantástico. That's confusing enough by having... So there's got to be like three different Angel Azteca Juniors if we count the CML one. It's all... It can be a little much.
I think Angel Azteca... The first Angel Azteca, Señor.
Yeah.
The one that passed away. End up selling the rights to his, I think they are his nephews.
Mm-hmm.
So he sold the rights to them. So that was why he became Angel Azteca Jr. second version. And after that, since he didn't wrestle, he saw this guy, Onyx, used to wrestle as dad. And they liked him and they gave him the persona team that they're going to try. I think they're selling it to him, so he's probably gonna become the main Angel Azteca Jr. And he's the one that broke his leg last year.
Oh yeah, the horrible Brio Dorada spot gone wrong. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. So, for I was telling Rob, because we had a lot of injuries last year, and a lot of these guys I have known them since they were younger. So I get really pissed because it's more impotence of, I know the guys and I know them behind the mask, and I, please, for example, with this Angel Azteca Jr., I saw his first training when he first came, he was a little kid. So you're like, oh, he was supposed to be coming alongside Dulce Gardenia to see Memel. It was supposed to be those two guys.
Do you think he's going to get another chance?
Probably next year, since he just started and he's still feeling comfortable with his leg. Probably next year, and he's saving money. Thankfully, since he's young, but he's not married. He's probably going to save some money so that he can go and don't have any issues if something happens.
That's a good thing he's back. And I'm sure it's possible he'll get another chance since, I mean, for example, I remember Sonic got injured. He was out for like a year and he still got back into CMLL. So,
how is Brillante Jr. doing recently? Because I haven't heard too much about him.
He's still, when he got booked for PWM,
yeah.
He was just coming back, so he wasn't. He got the big opportunity right after coming back. He has back problems. That's the thing. So he's a step. If you see the match, he's a step or two behind the other guys. Probably now he's more accustomed because he's wrestling more often. But probably another year so that he can get back into the whole step of high standard indie wrestling, indie lucha, because he was good, but he had another injury when he was younger. He was doing pull-ups in a machine in a gimnasio ranchero, and he slipped and used to be one of those old equipments that the whole machine is connected. So he had a big metal bar at the bottom.
Yeah.
So he hit his head in that, and he almost died because of that. So that's right when he debuted. So he took a year off. And so then he was starting doing good, and then he started having back problems because they weren't basing him correctly. So he was hurting himself in most dives.
I see.
So that's when he just came back and he got an opportunity. He was training, but he told me that he felt off, that he was trying, but that he just felt that he couldn't keep up with the other guys.
But I mean, that's first time since coming back from injury, you know, and also I'm pretty sure that was his first time working any of those guys, and also his first time in that arena, right? So you can't really fault him too much.
And I think the first time wrestling in Monterrey with not any of his family being there.
Yeah, and he was working with like Commander and, you know, Baby Extreme and, you know, and a bunch of other guys he never worked before, so yeah.
So, here, Angel, my question for you is, let's say there's a miracle, and tomorrow Ultimo Guerrero calls you and says, I trust your opinion more than anyone in the world. Give me two guys who are ready that could come to Mexico City and be, like, superstars for us. Who are the two guys you would pick?
Right now, probably.
So, like, people who are listening to this, who don't follow your videos, because there's so many videos, right? And you name two names that you should watch from these guys. Who would those guys be?
Let me open this one. I can pick two. Probably hard to think. And that's a really good question. I'm going to pick two from AMML. And two from the indies, because I'm trying to remember.
Try to be political, very fair.
Trying to be political. Probably that if you want technicals, I'll pick Torre Laguna, since he is tall and he's going to become, like, he's like 17. So he still has a ways to grow, and he can become a natural heavyweight or a light heavyweight. So he's gonna grow, become really good. He does the, they throw him and then he flips into Hurricanrana. So he's really light, even though he's a big guy. And I have taken some stuff from him at Tope, and he does it in a way that you don't even feel it. You just follow through. So it'll probably be him, and the other guy who could be, and Angel Azteca Jr. for technicals, and for rurals, Angel Negro, because as well he is a natural heavyweight, so that he can base people around, and Buffalo Blanco, like as well a good base that can work with the guys and make them look good.
I liked him. The stuff that I've seen from Buffalo Blanco, he's really good.
Yeah, I agree. That's a really good pick.
I'm from the Indies. Let me go really quick. I'm cheating a little bit here. But who could be? Probably Brillante. If you get him, if you make him do the runs through the small show so that he can get his footing. And Kingstar Jr. as a technical, because he's a student of Alfonso Turano. So, but the thing that he's a small guy, he will be stuck in primeras or segundas. I'm from Rudolph, probably either Tarantula and Diabolico Jr. Because
those seem like good picks, like very fair, because they've been around a while. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, there's good young talents. There's Dragon Sky. He has a Dinastia like gear. If you look in the Pasión Luchística channel, that's the guy. Mm-hmm. You have also Arabe. What is it called? Arabe? No, Mini Arabe. Is he coming in Arabic? I think the
Is he related to Arabi Junior?
No, he used to take photos for Pasión Luchística. He's a kid, and he started training, and they debuted him. But he's really good, since he has to mostly fall and do everything on his own, because he's wrestling the older guys. Also, another guy is Rey Escalata, but he's more of a Juarez guy.
Mm-hmm.
He used to be Mini Cyrus, but he left for Juarez, and he's also good, but he's also really, really small, and he's older than people think. So probably that'd be the other guy that I would pick. And there's guys like Sparko Jr. and Hijo del Imperio that are really good combinations. And the rest of the guys are either already doing the small shows in Mexico City, or older are they're not gonna even try to go to Mexico City.
Yeah, I think that's always the problem, is that people who just aren't going to make that trip to Mexico City because they might not get the opportunity. They want to go and they have to come back like other people have in the past. And some people make it, some people, it doesn't always work out.
There's a whole generation of guys that did try it, but it was when the whole boom of Lucha was going on, so they got lost in the mix, so they didn't, they got really either made some bad decisions, like Insólito, from the Stuka dynasty. He ended up being in jail for stealing with a deadly weapon. So his chances of being in CMML or AAA because it was known that he was put in jail because of that, his chances got. He's essentially blackballed from working them. He can go and work the small shows, but people know his past and he has a reputation. So he's a good guy, but he has bad habits. And that's the other thing. Some of these guys that right now don't have the bad habits, but when in the prime of their career, didn't even try to work out bad habits and came back with those bad habits.
Yeah, when you work the same place long enough and you don't feel like you're going any place, it's just going to, those bad habits are going to crop up.
Yeah, I can tell that. I can tell a story from that, like from my personal life, because I was working this like, what the hell? Why is it calling again? I don't know.
I think we lost Rob, but we'll go get him in a second.
Yeah.
You go ahead and tell your story. I'll figure it out.
Yeah. All right. So I had this like job where I was like. Basically, like restocking, like building supplies for stores and like rebuilding stores and shit. And I was working, you know, like 11-hour shifts, you know, every day. And I did that for about 2 years. And, you know, like they kept promising me like, oh, you're going to get paid more. Or you're going to get this like boss role or whatever, you know, in these different places. And, you know, they just kept promising things. All that ended up happening is I got even more and more responsibility. I ended up working even longer hours and I got nothing for it. So that's when I quit back in February of 2018. Then I made my first trip to Mexico a month after that. And then, like, after that, I kind of fell into some bad habits. Like, I was partying a lot, you know. I was going to rave parties and, like, shit like that. And, you know, not doing anything useful, really, with my life at all. So, yeah, I can definitely relate to that, like, from another perspective, so to say.
Yeah. I think it was disappointing for the Torreon guys because you had the AAA taping coming up that would have been this past weekend. And I'm sure they would have had a few of those guys get to do a dark match or at least get the scene by AAA guys. And they, when you're in a place like Torreon or another place that doesn't get a lot of media attention, those are really big opportunities. And hopefully they'll reschedule that taping and give those guys and people get another chance. But you probably only get those like once a year. Or whenever people come in, like Viewers of Black Terry were coming in. So that's disappointing that didn't work out.
Yeah, and there's, as I told you, there's the whole politics thing. And, for example, with those guys, the guys that were going to work their match were going to be AML guys, probably the Terrorists versus the Monsters. Guys, because there's a office here, what they call an office here, that from AAA that works the independent guys. Well, that's the same office that books the Gasolineros group.
Yeah, I hope they reschedule that taping, man.
They're probably gonna do because they sell a good amount of tickets.
Yeah, all the AAA tapings have generally sold a lot of tickets. So hopefully, when they get back running, they'll be able to pick back that up. But I think either we've lost Rob or Rob's microphone is giving us feedback. So I think it's probably a good time to wrap this up, unless there's something else that we need to. Unless there's something else you guys wanted to specifically talk about.
I mean, like, for me, I just want to, like, quickly just plug my Mexico vlog that I did put together a couple of days ago. It's on my YouTube channel, Dorada Fan Lucha Libre MVS. It's the most recent video, so you can just go look it up. I put a lot of work and effort into it, so... Yeah, I hope you enjoy it and just give it a watch.
And you've also got highlights from some of the shows you work.
Yeah, I got highlights from every show. I didn't film like every match or so, but yeah, I got all of those uploaded. And I also got a playlist on my channel that says Mexico 2020 specifically. So everything from, basically everything I filmed this year is on that playlist.
And then, Angel, you have your own YouTube channel, correct?
Yes, it's called Lucha MX AMLLM. There I put the matches that I tape for Alianza Metropolitana, and there you can find also highlights of the shows. So you can follow me there. Also in Twitter, I think it's Grand Panda Angel. And on Instagram, as Lucha MX, and TikTok as well as Lucha MX.
You're on TikTok too.
but they're all I'm going to start. I was supposed to start again doing some other TikToks with the guys, but this whole thing put a damper on it.
Okay. Alex is on Twitter. You're at Dorada Fan, right?
Yeah, at Dorada Fan on Twitter. If you just type in Dorada Fan at YouTube as well, it will pop up. But I have the Lucha Libre MVS at the end of it, just to, sort of attract the Mexican audience, I guess.
Okay. Well, thank you guys both for coming on today.
Yeah, thank you very much for having us.
And thank you, Rob, for being on when your tablet was still working. We will probably be back at some point. We're just not sure. There's not a lot going on, but maybe we'll find some stuff to talk about. But thanks, everyone, for listening. And we will talk to you again soon.
Yeah. Saludos desde Suecia.